You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk on our go.
The United Kingdom's Supreme Court has ruled that trans women do not meet the definition of woman under UK equality laws. This decision means services for women, such as refuges, hospital wards, and toilets, can exclude trans women. Thousands of trans rights supporters protested the decision in London, concerned about the impact of the decision on trans communities. The British government would have the power to legislate over the ruling, but Prime Minister Keir Starmer has said he supports the clarity and confidence the decision has brought. This is despite Starmer previously supporting trans rights. For International Desk, I spoke to Jane Fay, director at TransActual, about the decision and its backlash. TransActual is a trans advocacy organisation in the United Kingdom focused on advocating for trans healthcare and lobbying Parliament for trans rights. I started by asking if she could explain the impact the Supreme Court decision has had on the trans and non-binary community.
Well, if I roll back a tiny bit, the court gave a verdict which, frankly, is either incompetent or lying. Their verdict was, we have a series of attacks on the Equality Act by really sort of pseudo-feminists funded by some very right-wing money. And they, the judges in that decision, the highest court in the UK, ruled that gender and sex are totally different, and that sex means biological sex. They didn't care to define biological sex, but there you have it. And they also said that this ruling will have no real effect on trans people, and nobody is won and nobody is lost. Although the day after, or indeed on the day, you saw the gender critical people behind this case out drinking champagne and lots of very gloating pictures. And my experience is trans people utterly, certainly for a couple of days, utterly in pieces. People in tears, people talking about whether they should leave the country now or later. On Monday, I had someone phone me up and say, I'm on my way to work, I don't know if I dare go into work. This has been utterly traumatic, traumatizing for trans people. And the initial reaction was one of despair. And it's worse than that. I had one person, a friend, who's nearly 80. They'd recovered from cancer. And they said to me 4 or 5 days ago, if I had to go into hospital again, if they force me onto a men-only ward, I won't go. If that means I die a couple of years earlier, I will die a couple of years earlier. And I have to say, I would probably take the same position. I am not going on a men-only ward. And this decision is utterly disruptive.
Has the decision received much backlash?
Yes. We have yet to count what is going on. It's clear that the chair of the UK's Equalities Commission is utterly bought into the gender critical agenda, ideology, whatever you want to call it. And the Prime Minister, no less, came out in Parliament today and said, well, it's good, we've now settled this issue once and for all, now we can all move on. That is such a load of claptrap and nonsense, I don't know where to begin. The basis of that is that the Prime Minister thinks everyone will just go quietly. But actually, we have seen an upsurge in support. We have seen tens of thousands take to the streets in London in one single day demo. And 10 years ago, to get 200 trans people on the demo would have been quite an achievement. To get 20, 30, 40,000 people out in London is quite a thing. And not only that, but we've also seen over the last week demos almost spontaneously erupting across the country. Manchester, Liverpool, I think there's been one in Birmingham. At last count, and I should probably have carried a list, there were demos in at least a couple of dozen towns in the UK. People that I have known to be fence sitters and lukewarm for some while are basically coming out and saying, no, this is just too much. So the backlash, and if I give you a very cynical analysis of this, Donald Trump, well, our Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, he wants a deal with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has sent JD Vance across to the UK. I mean, I think a sort of visit from JD Vance is like the kiss of death. I think the last person who visited the Pope before he snuffed it was JD Vance. And JD Vance said, yeah, we'd love a trade deal, but just do away with all your protections for LGBTQ people. It's what Vance has actually asked. And cynics have said, you know what? Probably doing away with all of the protections is a step too far for Starmer. But if he could throw the trans community under the bus, maybe he can show Donald Trump that he's trying. And that may be very cynical, but there's a lot of people beginning to think that's exactly what's going on here.
How did the Supreme Court reach their decision? Who did they hear evidence from?
It's a very good question. How did they reach their decision? To the best of my knowledge, it's led. It's a panel of judges, but a single judge leads it and possibly even appoints the other panelists, but you'd have to get a lawyer in to confirm that. They heard. You see, the problem with this case and with similar cases is that the Equality Act in the UK is a protection from discrimination. And if you feel you've been discriminated against, you must go as plaintiff and complain to the person who committed that discrimination. So it is not a gender-critical person versus a trans person. It's a gender-critical person versus an organization, an employer, a museum, a school, whatever. And bearing in mind that they are absolutely awash with money, they have just been attacking organization after organization. Same case over and over. Our rights as cis women have been impinged because the employer didn't apply the Equality Act properly. Now, if you keep bringing the same case and you keep bringing the same case before different judges and you've got almost unlimited money to do that, you will eventually win. And I think that's partly what's happened. They just keep bringing the same case. And the other thing that will happen or has happened is that because the case is between a gender-critical woman and an organisation, there's no space in that case to hear from trans people. So, what the judges heard was they heard from the plaintiff, the person complaining, they heard from the defendant, Scottish Government. They allowed what are called interventions from three or four organisations that were supportive of the gender critical case, and a couple of trans experts attempted to make interventions, and the court said, no, you can't come in. Now, I understand the principle that courts prefer to hear from organisations, but in this case, one of those interveners was a trans expert in this. In the Equality Act, who had been involved in the drafting of the Equality Act and the drafting of the Gender Recognition Act 20 years ago. I think that's quite a decent expert for that case. And the second person who wanted to intervene was a trans woman who, until recently, has been a High Court judge and probably knows a thing or two about the law. So, what they did was they heard from some gender critical organisations and no trans people whatsoever. I think part of the reason that you can tell that this is almost dictated to them by the gender critical organisations is they went out of their way to define lesbians. So a panel which I think was 75% white male, white cis male, has decided to define lesbians. I can tell you that there's a lot of lesbians and lesbian organisations in the UK that are furious about this. And bizarrely, their definition of lesbian, first of all, almost entirely mirrors the definition that is provided by some of the gender critical groups. And it is, for those used to the parlance, it's a sort of gold star lesbian. In other words, if you're a lesbian who has been married, they appear to have said that you're not a lesbian. And whilst we can shake our heads and laugh ironically at that, that has a serious consequence because, as well as stripping away rights from trans people, that probably means that if you're lesbian, you may find it harder to bring a discrimination case in future. Because if you were ever married, then according to these judges, you're not a lesbian.
There's obviously so much more we could talk about in relation to this case, but what are the next steps for trans people and their allies who are against this ruling?
God, I don't know. People keep saying, what do you think of what happened last week? And I quote, Mao Zedong was asked, what do you think of the French Revolution? And he said, it's a bit early to tell, sort of 200 years later. We are still evaluating. We think there are three roads forward. Road one is legal, and the last few years have seen a spate of cases by gender criticals against employers and organisations. This ruling hasn't clarified at all. What it has done is it's created a case situation where it will be almost impossible for employers now to comply with the law without upsetting either trans or gender criticals. Employers will be placed in a situation where it's if you go one way, you'll be sued by gender criticals. If you go the other way, you'll be sued by trans people. So I don't think that draws a line under it at all. And probably means in the long run, we'll see far more gender neutral spaces in the UK. That seems to be the safest option for employers now. So we will back, support, and work with people to bring forward legal cases. And we think that the starting gun was fired last week, and there will be a lot of legal cases. We would like to say we'd hope to see this brought back to Parliament to clear up the mess. But given the complacency with which Keir Starmer approached this issue, this whole idea that it's all settled now, we don't think it'll come back to Parliament, not until the mess gets a lot worse. And we don't trust this government now to fix it in any sensible way whatsoever. And the final thing I think, and it goes a bit back to the legal thing, is we might just move on culturally. I mean, feminism for a long time was not into all this single sex nonsense, single sex based nonsense. There was a lot of feminist writing in the 80s and 90s, which suggested that the sort of essentialist definition of women, which is what they've come up with, is very retrograde. The let's put women into a women's space is very retrograde. It's treating women with like some object that must be wrapped up in cotton wool. And this absolutely aligns with the sort of far right and fascist agenda in the States. Now, will we see the world descend into fascism or nastiness? I'm not sure I can put it much better than that over the next decade, maybe. And it's a scary time to be around. On the other hand, maybe there's going to be a rebound because my hope and my suspicion is that Trump is going to be, he is a disaster, but that he will get found out as a disaster. And when he's found out, there will be some rebound. And if he doesn't manage to fix the midterm elections, it starts then. I think there'll be a Republican wipeout almost, but that's still to come. So, and it's also culturally, people will ask questions like, why do we need absolutely sort of segregated spaces? It's a little bit like, I'll draw to a close on that. You look far too young to know this, but about 10 years ago, I took part in a movement and a series of demonstrations called Slut Walk. Slut walk was a reaction initially to a police officer who was giving advice to women, I think in Canada, about how to not get raped. And it really was awful. It was pretty much along the lines of, if you don't want to get raped, don't go out too late and don't wear revealing clothes and so on. I don't know if he said don't dress like a slut, but the reaction was instantaneous. Firstly, a great many women in the locality responded by standing up and saying, right, you know, we've had enough. It's not helping anybody to say women don't get raped by effectively self-imposing a curfew. And that spiraled to the point where there were demos involving hundreds of thousands of people across the world, pretty much saying, no, it's not for women to change their behaviour, it's for men to change their behaviour. So that was a cultural moment, and that backlash really, really cut through. But more to the point, that backlash was saying, stop assuming that women need this cotton wool wrapping up, because that is fascism. It's trying to say women are delicate objects, and if they don't have protections and men around them to save them from the bad things, then bad things will happen to them. And I hoped we'd got past that, and this has returned to that.
That was Jane Fay, a director at Transactual, on the recent UK Supreme Court decision that excludes trans women from UK equality laws. The UK Supreme Court also defined the meaning of lesbian to exclude trans communities, despite lesbians being the most likely of the whole LGBTQ+ community to be supportive of trans people.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.